Everyone, welcome into the Built to Scale podcast. I'm Dr. Alan Miner with my host today, Dr. Mark Mao. And we're talking about signal versus noise. This is a fascinating concept for founders, for entrepreneurs, for chiropractic business owners. What's sucking your energy that's noise? And what's moving the needle on the growth of your business that's true signal? What's the balance between the two? We're going to take a deep dive on that. And as always, this podcast is sponsored by Chiro Matchmakers. That's who Dr. Mark and I are from. We're the founders of this company. Whether it's a virtual, offshore, real-life assistant that can change your life, literally change your team's life by taking that busy, monotonous work off your plate, or an associate doctor to help you get more time freedom and claw back, you know, to serve more people or help even step into your exit plan, or an in-office CA. Our specialty is placing and building chiropractic teams. This is a great episode. Excited you're with us. Let's jump into it.
Hello and welcome. Dr. Mark Mao again here, Built to Scale. So super excited about a great topic we have today with my good friend, Dr. Alan Miner. We're excited to dig in. So let's not waste time, Doc. Let's jump in and talk about signals versus noise.
Yeah, Mark, it's an interesting concept you're hearing in the entrepreneurial world right now is how much noise as a founder, as an owner of a business, in this case, a chiropractic clinic, how much noise are you focusing on and how much of the signal are you focusing on? And very simply put, the noise is the distraction that as a business owner, we get sucked into on a regular basis. Signal is the highest value, highest priority thing you can focus on each day to move your business forward, to serve more people, to help on a higher level. So I think there's a lot of stories in here. I mean, I've been in practice now, Mark, or owned practices is probably the better way to say it. I haven't practiced in a few years, for over 20 years. You're in the same boat. Yep. I think I've spent large seasons and even years focused on, in hindsight, what was noise and not what the signal was that moves the needle forward. And I suspect you do too. I know we've got some stories to share in this. But let's, I mean, can you touch on some of the points, Mark, starting with noise? And whether you want to talk about it on a bigger level for all businesses or you want to drill in specific to chiropractic, take it either direction.
Yeah, you know what? I think that all of us deal with noise inside of our businesses at some extent. Noise is the distraction. It's like, what distracts us? It's the squirrel, right? The Labrador Retriever squirrel, and you're chasing it, and you never catch it, right? Yeah. I think it doesn't just fall on us, to be honest. I think it also falls on our team as well. I know they hear the noise and distractions that go on, and I think as a good CEO, a good owner of a business, is how do we bring even our teams away from that noise? And you know, a lot of times, what I think I see in our profession is people. The two biggest components I see is number one, worrying about your competition, what's going on down the street, and we're trying to worry about that. And I was guilty of that for probably the first 10 years, right? It was our marketing is I need to have the biggest yellow page ad because I want to outdo the guy down the street. And I was guilty of that, you know, I had the biggest yellow page ad.
Or I'll take that a step further. It's local, but then you start comparing yourself to all the other chiropractors and the 50 million things to do in a clinic now, the techniques, the outcomes, the classic how volume conversations. I'm seeing this many people.
Your buddies that you went to school with. How are you doing your first 3 years, right? Like, oh, I'm seeing 100 more than you are. I think we're all guilty of that noise. Yeah. And that doesn't help us. It may push us. There's maybe a competitive spirit that's there. But it's still, when it comes down to say it, it's still the noise. And I think the other one is, as chiropractors, I think there's a part in all of our spirits. And I think the owner, operator, the CEO, everybody wants to be the hero. We want to be able to fix people's problems. And you and I just had a conversation. Literally, we saw each other for 3 hours on Sunday, and we literally talked about, you know, the hero complex is that when we're trying to become the hero and we step in place of the patient becoming a hero, all of a sudden that's absolutely noise distracting. And let's be honest, it's also very distracting to your team when you're trying to be the hero in these situations.
Yeah, I see, you know, a couple more noise categories in today's world is vanity metrics. Like, followers, you know, page views. I did a video on social media. How many people watched it? And now as Gary Vee's teaching, he spoke at Parker. Followers don't even matter. He's like, you don't have to have any followers to get views on your content. That's really what matters. So I see a lot of chiropractors get just obsessed with that side of the business. And you know, it doesn't translate. We'll talk about signal in a minute. But, you know, even back to the conversation with volume, volume's a noise metric. You know, to me, signal is what, how many people did you heal in your community? How many people did you inspire to go to chiropractic school? How much money did your business make? Because you and I know all too well, Mark, one guy seeing a thousand a week might actually be negative on cash flow one month compared to somebody seeing 100 a week who's pocketing, you know, huge. There's just such a volume and a spread on that in the profession right now, isn't there?
Yeah, that's 100% right. And I think that you talked about reviews. It's a review on your website. I mean, that can be a noise or it can be a signal, right? I think there's some things that, you know, can go both ways. It depends on how you interpret that information. If you're going, hey, I've got 500 reviews, I'm awesome, compared to, hey, look how many of you said it, how many people I've helped in my community and the great things people are saying. I think it also is the point of how do you use that information for the good and maybe not the evil, right?
A couple other noise things. You know, it's over customizing everything. A lot of people like to play business. So they spend so much time on their website, their logo, their office layout, the furniture, the decor. You know, I've made this mistake with some businesses having these huge opening parties and grand openings. And it's like, at the end of the day, just get to work. You know, I mean, we have so many stories of friends. I mean, my first clinic was pretty bare bones and just start getting to work. You can just get, it can become absolute noise getting everything perfect, that post laid out perfectly for Instagram, the design of something. And at the end of the day, that's not where you make money. People aren't coming to you because of your logo. They're coming to you for the service you provide and if you can help them.
I want to add one more noise.
Yeah.
It's the new equipment. The new blinky shiny, right?
Oh.
You go to a seminar, you walk by, your buddy has it, so forth. And how many times, I mean, I have stories, I've purchased $15,000, $20,000 piece of equipment, and 6 months later, it's in a closet somewhere, and our team's like, what happened to that? That was like the greatest piece of equipment you had ever bought, and now it's sitting in a closet. Like, why aren't we using it? It was like, at the time of moment, it was like, oh, that new thing, it's going to help me retain more patients, or it's going to help me convert more patients, or it's going to help me get better results of more patients. But really, it wasn't. It was like the new thing that everybody was using, so you thought you needed to be a part of that. So that's definitely noise when it comes to distracting, because a lot of times if you don't bring around a system, procedure, or process in it, it becomes a distraction. And that's what I see a lot of times in our profession and other businesses, is that if you don't have a system with procedures and processes to go around that new piece of equipment or a process that you're bringing in, there's going to be an issue, and it becomes noise and distraction because it brings you off of your mission and the true goal of what your patients understand in your office of what you actually do, right?
Yep. And then you have the area, another I'd put in noise right now is AI. You know, we all see there's a potential. And I would, again, attest, we talked about this before, the combination of a good virtual CA, a real life person combined with AI is where the future of this profession is going. But there's still a lot of noise in AI. You know, we've probably tested a dozen of the phone answering systems now, and they're getting better and better, but they're still 10, 15% short. And, you know, when we work so hard to get somebody to call the clinic, I'm not willing to risk that last 10, 15% to AI, to not bonding, you know, and then it can't plug into a lot of the to scheduling softwares, you know. There, again, it's evolving quickly, but, you know, there's so, I've probably had my assistant on 30 or 40 AI sales calls in the last 6 months. And again, that's how I do this, is I want to be, keep my finger on the pulse, but I don't have the bandwidth. That's noise for me. So, you know, the latest one that we were excited about that I think is coming soon is, of course, we, you know, hire a ton of virtual assistants, virtual CAs, executive assistants offshore for practices. And one of the cool new technologies with AI is you can have the thickest accent person, some of the thick Indian, you know, Chinese, doesn't matter the accent, and they speak into the microphone, and the other end comes out whatever style. You can have the thickest Texas accent, New York accent. It's insane. And so neat technology that's coming, but right now that company only offers, you have to buy like 300 seats. So it's not approachable for a sole practice owner, but they will. But that's the kind of stuff that, again, if you're an owner spending time on all these calls, you're wasting your time on noise. It's not moving the business forward. It's not making more money. It's not helping you serve more people. It's not that it doesn't need to be attended to. And maybe that's the lesson as we transition to talking about signal you should be focusing on here, Mark. But just know if you've got a great EA behind you and a great staff around you, a lot of these things should be delegated. And then, as you said, Mark, you got to determine what's each person on the team, what's signal for them, what's noise. Classic example over the years for us are super bills. Talk about noise from my front desk. Super bills, you know. We were always run mostly cash practices. We now have an amazing EA, a VCA on our team that handles that kind of stuff so that my team's present with people. They're bonding. They're connecting. They're not getting sidetracked on building super bills, you know. So that's another real life example. So let's talk about signal. If you're really going to grow and scale, the people who built 1,000-a-week clinics profitably, the people who have patients travel from all over the world and pay any price and travel any distance for their services of healing, they're all signal. You don't attract those kinds of people unless you're focused on signal. So the first one I'll talk about here really is I'm going to call it customer feedback, Dr. Mark, but it is results. You know, are you healing people? What do your clients say about you? What do they say about you on Google? What do they say to their friends? Are you seeing referrals? Are you tracking referrals? That's maybe the gold standard to me of signal, is what's being said about you in regard to the results you're getting.
100%. I'll expand on that and say, I think I was listening to Hormozy on a podcast a couple months ago, and he said there's two levers of every business: marketing and retention. And I think we spend a huge amount of time, energy, focus, and money inside of marketing. I think we've all been guilty of that. I've taken on marketing, a lot of it on my own this year, and using some outside resources. But the amount of time that I've spent to learn this marketing is paying off. But imagine what if I spent that much in retention of my office, right? So there's still learning that I'm doing, right? So I do believe, like you said, is a big component is what are people saying? What are the results? The reviews they're posting, you know, the referrals they're sending in. And I know in our practices, we have, you know, lots of patients coming in that are referred. 50% of the patients, 50 to 60% are referrals still, right? And those are the best patients to bring in. But one of those massive signals is, are you measuring retention? What is your stick rate? What is your retention? How long does that person stay with you? And what's their lifetime value in your practice? Are all very important signals that we need to focus in on.
Yeah, I'd categorize that as cost structure and margin. And, you know, another reason a lot of people hire a VCA is to really get good metrics. There's systems out there that are supposed to automate that. The challenge is a lot of times the automation doesn't pull in the financial aspect. So, you know, we have a team of VCAs, a couple of them that support our offices because we really want to drill down on what's the lifetime value to what's the average number of visits somebody has in their initial plan and into wellness. What is the cost per adjustment every time we lay hands on somebody? What is the margin on that adjustment? What's the profitability? What's our average collection per adjustment? We have a big reoccurring book of business that people that adopt the chiropractic as a wellness lifestyle. What's our churn rate on that? How many people are we losing a year? That's signal. And I will tell you, Mark, I don't think anything has ever grown our business more than the periods of time where I get really focused on measuring the numbers and improving the numbers. When you measure things and you have an awareness, and I've seen it for myself. You know, this year I've been on a health journey, and when I started logging calories and measuring myself every day, guess what happened versus when I eyeballed it or just did something kind of random? It's the same for your business. It's the same for your personal wealth, your allocations on your investments in real estate and stocks and life insurance and crypto. And things you measure improve. And that is major signal. And if you're, you know, a lot of times what happens in clinics is your staff hates having to do the numbers. You know, at the end of the day, how many people came in the door? How many didn't show up? How many converted? How many dropped out? How many bought something extra? You know, just the more you know those numbers, and again, that's where our solution's been finding great offshore EAs that have a background in accounting. They can come into our system each night and pull financials and, you know, pull all those metrics so that on a daily basis, we're getting those numbers. And has that ever moved the needle forward? And boy, does that quickly show you where you're spending energy on noise and what you need to focus in on. And for us, it was very simple, just extending the average number of visits on an initial plan. If we can just add 5 more visits that somebody stays, what that does to the stick rate is phenomenal.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that, you know, you listed so many numbers. And I think the one that a doctor really needs to have an understanding, I don't think they always track it, is the collection visit per average, right? Mm-hmm. What are you collecting on average? Because we have people that come to you and I every day on calls wanting to add an associate or adding a virtual CA or adding a CA, and they have an idea of what their collection per visit is. But when we drill down on it and they're like, I run an awesome practice, 300 visits a week. And then we get down to it and what they're collecting per month, and they're like $28 a visit, and they want to bring in that next team member. It's hard to bring in a team member when you're averaging $26 a visit in your office. You have an awesome practice and you're seeing a lot of people in volume, but the problem is that there's not enough profit margin to actually bring in that new employee. So a lot of times we pivot into that conversation is bring a VCA in that can measure your numbers over the next 6 months, decrease your, you know, overhead by having team members that are, you know, overseas that cost you less. Get those numbers brought up, increase your retention, and your collection number will go up. And then you can start to look at bringing that next good employee along into your practice, if it's a CA or a DC, making sure that they're a good fit. And making sure a good fit's another part of that signal, right? I think we've all had a lot of noise in our lives and we've hired wrong employees. You and I probably could spend an hour just talking about wrong employees over the years and how that wasn't a great, how it affected our office, you know, not only in the short term, but possibly even some of the long term. But having and hiring the right person in the right role, doing the right job the right way, Dr. Stephen Franson, the four rights, which we always loved hearing. I think that's a great position to put yourself in. And I think the signal's right when you find the right people. And that's what we help our doctors do, is finding the right people. And that's getting the right person so that positive signal keeps going forward. Because once again, in most of your offices, as the chiropractor, you're seeing that patient for 5 or 10 minutes, possibly. Your team is with them sometimes 15, 20, 30 minutes. So having the right people, delivering that care and bringing the right message is so massively important.
Yeah, I'll touch on 2 points there, Mark. Going back to, you know, I heard this when I was in school, and it's so true. Your price for per adjustment should match the cost of a stamp. And I think stamps are around 75, 78 cents now. So you should be at $75, $78. It's amazing how many people we get on the phone and they're at $20, $25, $30. And, you know, if they just doubled their prices, they'd have the margin to do more in their clinic, to hire better people, to hire an associate, to market their services more. And that a lot of times is a headspace thing, but I'll tell you, we're north of 100 per visit. We're straight adjusting chiropractic clinics in a, you know, New Mexico, you know, where the average income is $40,000, $45,000. So, you know, that's a headspace thing. If you're not charging more per visit, and again, with inflation the last several years, COVID, it's never been easier to raise your rates. Mm-hmm. Something I heard from Hormozy, I'll give him credit, is when you raise your rates, give your people 90-day runway. Hey, guys, the cost of business has gone up. We have to raise rates because you've been with me a long time. I'm going to keep you at your old rate for the next 90 days, and then our rates have to adjust up. And you'll lose a few people, but what you'll make, you know, it's disheartening, Mark, when we talk to somebody who's seeing 150, 200 a week, and they're collecting $30 visit average, and they can't, you know, they can barely... they're not making the lifestyle they want, and yet they're trying to bring on an associate doc. The numbers don't mesh on that. You need to be able to make a 3-to-1 ROI on the associate right out of the gate, not build up a clinic. 9 times out of 10, they don't build a clinic under you. We've seen that happen time and time again. And now that the, you know, the joint is at 100,000 base in most markets, that's students know they can make that. So if you can't generate 300,000-400,000 right out of the gate in an associate, you got to build the practice up more. And back to then, what's the signal you're focusing on? What's the margin? To follow up on what you talked about, team performance and leverage. Who's creating the most value on the team? And what systems are replicable and scalable? That is signal. You know, knowing the value of each of your team members and what they're doing and how they're creating value, having metrics on what they're doing, that's a big category for signal. I also think something as simple as cash, Dr. Mark. You know, like how much cash do you have as a runway? You know, the old adage, do you have 3 months in there? You know, something we teach, everybody should know, if you're hiring an associate doc, you're responsible for that person's livelihood. And they're a doctor, mind you. They went to graduate school. That's a big responsibility. I think it's fair game for any associate to ask the owner for financials. Let me see your profit and loss for last year. And if you're an owner and that makes you cringe, I tell you, get your house in order, because any good business should be able to show somebody that. You shouldn't be, you know, the problem is a lot of owners are burying all their vacations, their health insurance, their student loans, their country club memberships inside the business, so they don't want to show it. But who wants to work for a poor owner? Like, you should be successful. Your business should be profitable. You should have cash on reserve for several months. So if you hit a downturn, everybody's still getting paid. So that's maybe not popular with all the owners, but I would really encourage associates to ask for that. And you'll really quickly see, are you aligning with a strong business and some winners? Or are you the Hail Mary that an owner's trying to pull, you know, a business out of their butt because they don't have the skill set or the systems and they're looking for you as an associate to do that? Any thoughts on that, Mark?
You know what? I'll just say this, is that you just nailed the accountability to the owner, and I'll jump on the other side of it, is the accountability of the team and the efficiency of a team, right? Once again, I'll say I'm guilty of this. 15, 18 years ago, I mean, I probably had multiple employees back then that I was ready to get rid of. I knew they weren't performing well. I just didn't know how well they weren't performing, right? Because we didn't have KPIs. I didn't have an understanding at that point, which are key performance indicators. Yeah. We didn't have accountability cards to know what they were accountable. You know, what are their top five jobs? Are they, and I had multiple times, maybe have you had this, Dr. Allen, where employees like, oh, I'm super busy. Man, I'm just so underwater. And you're like, okay, like, show me what you're doing every day. And they break it down for you. And they're like, how, like, I can find 3 hours of more work that you could do in there. So I think it also, docs that are listening, owners that are listening, and team members that are listening, is there has to be accountability for your job. You know, a great signal, it's not noise, but the signal is, you know, are you doing a monthly check-in with each employee? Maybe you're not doing it, but your office manager is doing it, or, you know, a COO is doing it on your team. You don't have to do it yourself, docs. I'm not saying that. I don't do a monthly check-in with my team. My office manager checks in with every CA on my team, and my COO checks in with every DC on the team every month. I jump in on the quarterlies, making sure that we're going in the right direction and how can I help them do that. But the signals have to be is, how do you manage your team? And there has to be KPIs, there has to be key performance indicators, because how do you know then what you should pay a person? How do you know if there should be a bonus structure or there shouldn't be a bonus structure? How do you know if you should keep somebody or you shouldn't keep somebody? If there's something's not in writing about what success looks like. And let's be honest, all of us want to know what success looks like in the jobs that we have as either the owner or the employee or whoever else is you're talking about, your associate, right? Is what does success look like? And if you don't have that roadmap, every time that person walks out at the end of the night, they don't know what success looks like. They're one step away from leaving you.
Mark, that right there is probably what changed the fortunes of our practice more than anything. You know, we were keeping toxic CAs because they've been with us forever. And yeah, they were so busy, and they, you know, they were building value that way. When we brought in KPIs, key performance indicators, and we took time to say, all right, what are the four or five things, if they do a great job on this, it'll contribute to how everybody else is succeeding. And we then made those really transparent. What happened, first of all, is I lost three offices. It was a fail because all of a sudden everybody is held accountable. And guess what? A lot of people didn't like that. And all of a sudden now we record and scorecard them on front desk, on check-ins, on check-outs, on office tours, on the doctor's day one, the doctor's day two, financials, recent, everything is scorecarded. Well, people would train and pretend that they knew what they were, you know, they look really good in training. And then I thought I was getting smart. Send me a recording. Well, of course they'd send you the recording of the one that they cherry picked. When we started randomly listening and scorecarding people, we lost a lot of people. And my first thought was, oh crap. But what I realized is the underperformers were exposed and they left. And then now when we hire and we tell people before they start, here's what we measure on, here's what's expected of you. When they're killing those metrics, people feel good when they know they're doing a good job. And it shouldn't be relying on you as the owner to say, good job, Bobby. They should know because they're hitting their metrics and they know the reward on that. And that was a big shift for us moving from a whole lot of noise into a whole lot of signal. And now we have truly the best team we've ever had of A players who've now been with us a long time because our VAs know what their jobs and their tasks are and what's expected of them. And now our in-office staff are free to do what we need from them, which is interacting and bonding and taking great care of and loving on our people. And we measure those interactions and we scorecard those interactions. Like I said, a simple thing is how many people don't walk around the front desk and greet people with a smile by first name. They tell you they do, but until we could actually measure that and hold them accountable, and that changed everything for us, Dr. Mark. So any last things you think we've missed on signal here to wrap it up?
I just think, once again, we go back to marketing. How are you tracking it? It's the return on your investment. Like, not how much are you spending, but how many people came in from your marketing? And we go to the point that we even track who was referred in from the people who came in from that marketing, right? Because that's a number that continues to grow. And if you're spending $2,500 and your return on investment, I believe, needs to be 5 to 7 times, all of a sudden you're talking that it's going to be, you know, 15 to 20,000. But we still do the orientation, better results faster, where they're bringing their spouse, they're bringing their guest, whoever it is. We'll convert 3, 4, 5 people each week out of that. All of a sudden, that doubles your return on investment of that person walking into your office. So are you tracking your marketing and what's that look like? And what's the return on investment, which I believe it needs to be 5 to 7 times of what you're spending each month?
Couldn't agree more. So quick recap on the things we think are that we touched on here. First is results. You know, are you seeing that in your Google reviews and your referrals? Are you tracking those? What's the word about and buzz around town about your ability as a healer? Patient volume and visit retention is a big signal. Are patients showing up and staying and following their care plans? What's your collection, your numbers we talked about, your collection per visit, your cost per visit? There's been times, Mark, we actually realized it was costing us $5 to lay hands on a person because our rates were too low, literally. You know, and then we'd get a PI check or something that might come in and skew it so it looked like we were profitable. And we really broke down the numbers. We realized, no, we're actually paying to take care of this person, let alone when we'd feel bad for somebody and give care away. I wanted the team to have a hard number on if we choose to do that, them laying on the table is costing us $40.
Family plans, right? Oh, yeah. I got a family plan. I mean, like, don't come. I mean, like, I love taking care of families. We have a lot of them, but you can't give free care away either.
No, so that collection per visit is a big deal. Team efficiency and accountability we touched on. Does everybody know their KPIs? Are you measuring those? Marketing return on investment we touched on. Your systems, is your growth systemized? Is it, you know, I love to say great businesses are boring. They really, you're not changing things. You're just repeating over and over what works and getting good results. And then, of course, the profit margin, cash flow. You know, profit, you know, how much is left at the end, how we comp our team is a little different, Mark, but it's based off profit. And, you know, my doctors at the end of the quarter, whatever's in the profit account, they get a percentage of that. So they're looking at profit. They want to move as much money into the profit account as they can, and they understand how that works. So there's a lot of noise in chiropractic. There's a lot of blinky shiny. There's a lot of new things to do with social media, with posting, with podcasting. Your team can create a lot of noise, competition, what your colleagues are doing. a lot of that can waste energy. So I hope this was helpful. I think it's a neat lens to go through what's noise, what's signal. And who we'll give full credit to is Kevin O'Leary, the shark. He's big on this concept. And I think if I go over the years and distill down our seasons of success versus our seasons of failure, they were seasons when we were focused on things that were pure signal, and seasons when we're focused on noise is what that distills down to.
100%. Once again, always a pleasure, Dr. Allen. Until next time, thanks everyone for listening. We'll see you soon.